Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Both teams on fields here, but not on fields together quite yet. We just saw a bunch of officials walk in here at the Houston Methodist Training Center. Payne and Pendergast with you for another hour. We'll hand it over to In the Loop at 10 o'clock.
Everybody, be nice to the officials, will you? Like, they're having troubles. They're having trouble stocking the officials' rosters at the lower levels because of all this crap they're taking nationally.
This is
sure. Did you screw up the Super Bowl matchup? Of course you did. Of course you did.
I don't know if there's any of these
should've been
guys.
Should have been the Saints at the Super Bowl. But don't take it out on the local guys.
Yeah, don't take it out on the entire industry.
Yeah.
Joining us right now, you can hear him on Texans broadcast on sideline duties. Does a great job there. Texans radio as well. Lots of content on HoustonTexans.com. Our good friend John Harris joining us here live at the Houston Methodist Training Center at Texans and Lions practice. Johnny, great to have you here for a few minutes. What do you think, man? The Lions here in town. What's your excitement level right now?
Well, first of all, seeing the officials. Officials and I have a really good relationship. We're good.
Do you argue with them when you're down on the sidelines at all? That's against etiquette, isn't it?
No, I'll talk to them every now and again if they come over near me. There was almost an incident in 2015 when we beat the Colts. And you remember the Jalen Strong touchdown? There's a yellow line that keeps, you know, the riffraff out, and I'm part of the riffraff. And so when the play is literally coming right at me, and so I'm standing there at the yellow line where I always do, and I think it was, like, right near the goal line. And so as Jalen's about to dive into the end zone, I'm at the yellow line. I start to jump up in the air. Well, the line judge just kept moving and moving out of the way because DeQuell Jackson came to dive and make a tackle. And so as he did, the line judge is moving out of the way, and he moves, like, all the way back to the yellow line. So I'm up in here like, yes, and I come down, and he's literally, like, right in front of me. I mean, I'm talking, like, inches. And so I literally come down, and I have my arms kind of like this so I don't land on him, and I'm literally, like, from, like, 2 inches away. And I just quickly, like, pull back, and I look down. I'm, like, definitively behind the yellow line, so I couldn't have gotten any trouble. But after the play, he came over to me, and he kind of smiled. He goes, I felt you. I said, I was all the way behind the yellow line, sir. And he goes, oh, no, I know. He goes, that was just a play coming at us. So we're good. We don't have any beef. I like the guys. They'll tell me some things that are happening, stuff like that.
You were almost in a Rex Chapman Twitter video, block or charge.
No, it would definitely have been a charge because I would have come down set for sure because I was definitely set.
Yeah.
I was the king of taking charges in high school, which I'm sure shocks everybody.
Yeah. So, Johnny, give us the state of the union right now in your mind from what you've seen from the offensive line so far.
It's up and down. There were times up in Green Bay where I felt like, okay, man, this thing's coming together. You know, when you think about the good offensive lines in the league, you know, those groups have been together for a while. And, you know, you're talking about incorporating a couple rookies into this mix. You know, a couple guys that, you know, Chantrell Henderson didn't play last year, Matt Khalil who didn't play last year. You're trying to bring all that together in a short amount of time. And if you think about the you know, for an offensive line, they don't start hitting anybody until the first day of training camp. So they didn't really get to do what they do until the first day of training camp. So you're trying to incorporate all of that together and at times look okay. There have been times where I've seen in practice like, oh, man, individuals I watch and go, okay, that's a pretty good look right there. And then you watch kind of a couple group things and you're like, hey, that's not bad. And then put it together as a team, there are a couple plays, okay, let's look all right. And then there are some plays you go, oh, okay, let's – let's go the other direction. So, I don't, you know, I've obviously listened to you guys. I've read what's out there, and you know, it was not the cleanest of games. It was not the cleanest of two practices for the offensive line up against Green Bay. You know, they've got some stout guys. I think this is a really good test because this defensive line for Detroit. Now, there's no Snacks. I think Snacks I saw in warm up pants.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll see him, which would have been great for the interior guys.
But Mike Daniels is here.
Trey Flowers is
healthy now.
Yep. Deshaun Hand, A'shaun Robinson. So they got some dudes.
Yeah.
They got some dudes, especially facing some guys from Alabama. So they're going to get tested. And I think it's a good test for them. And I heard you guys talking about, you know, Matt Khalil with John McClain. And I think it's a big week for him to show, hey, look, I'm still kicking the rust off here. But the thing is, you play September 9th, so the rust has got to be off before September 9th.
Uh-huh.
So from that perspective, you know, the guy hasn't hit anybody since, I don't know, go back to December of 2017.
Yeah.
So some of that stuff doesn't come that easily, especially when you're coming off an injury. And I think a lot of times we look at it and go, well, hey, he's healthy, so why isn't it happening? Well, he hasn't played football in a while. Think about if you didn't do your occupation for a while, would you step right in and just all of a sudden be great? Now, some of you can. I mean, I know Seth could. I don't know about him, but no. I know Seth could. But it, you know, take a year and a half off what you're doing and step right back in. I mean, people would think you – I mean, if I took a year and a half off what I was doing and came out, people would think, oh, you're terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they think I'm terrible now, but I'd be even worse than that. So I think there's some of that. But the problem is you just don't have that lag time. You don't have 2 months. Like in college, it feels like you're in camp forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play that first game. You don't have that much time. We're, what, less than 3 weeks away?
Yeah.
Where's Mark? Mark's usually got it. About 3.5 weeks away from that game against the Saints. So it's got to come together now. So there's got to be a sense of urgency about what they're doing, and this is a good week for them to face a really good defensive line.
I've been pleased with Zach Fulton. I feel like we're seeing more of what the Zach Fulton I saw in Kansas City, which makes me feel better about, okay, whatever was going on last year with him might have been just purely injury-related. And he's shown more versatility than I thought he had in him in moving to center.
Well, I like Zach at center.
Yeah.
I've said it. I like him at center. I remember when he played in that playoff game against us. I think it was he played in that playoff game, and then he played center against us in 2017 on a Sunday night game. And I remember Mitch Morse being out. I was like, oh, you got to go to the backup center against our guys. That's going to be tough. And then Zach, going back and watched the game, Zach was like, God, Fulton kicked our butt. And I talked to Chris Ballard, GM of the Colts. We were kind of chit-chatting at the Senior Bowl about a bunch of stuff, and he brought up Zach Fulton. He goes, hey, Zach played pretty well for you guys. He said the key is he's got to keep his weight in check. He said when he was with us in Kansas City, when he was with us in Kansas City, is like when his weight got out of control, then, you know, he was
so
impacted
hard.
By that.
There's so many avocados everywhere these days.
Yeah.
It's difficult for a guy like Zach Fulton.
Well, it's tough. I mean, the guy played in Kansas City with barbecue, and he came here to Houston, there's barbecue. I mean, like you're getting hit both ways. But and I thought it was interesting because I think sometimes – and I didn't think he was overweight last year, but I do think the injuries played a big role in that. I think his ankle was I think it was his ankle that was an issue, and that was a problem. But I like Zach on the interior. I just feel like he should be in one of those interior spots. So, I don't know. I didn't want to get to this point against Detroit where there was still some upheaval about what we were going to see. I thought we'd kind of settle in.
Yeah.
But I still think that we're kind of looking for what – that five needs to be on September 9th.
And that's where I wonder, you know, Nick Martin, as much as Bill O'Brien loves him and as highly as he speaks of him, he's sitting out there and he's not available. One thing that Bill O'Brien has said over and over and over again in this training camp is you got to be available.
Right.
You got to be there.
Right.
And so far, Zach Fulton has been there. He's played right guard. He's played center. And that would be a surprise that I would not have anticipated at all. If all of a sudden come week one, that Zach Fulton's actually starting at center. And I'd see it as more of a possibility than I ever would have thought before.
Well, if you put Fulton at center, let's just say, just go with me on this. If you put, let's just say it's Khalil, Howard, Fulton, Sharping, and Chantrell, you average 323, 324 across the front.
It's a fun bunch, isn't it?
It's a big,
those are some big, like, dockyard bruisers right there. They'll break your damn thumbs.
Now,
I like that.
The dockyard bruiser sounds like some sort of 90s band.
It does. It feels like them and Mighty Mighty Bosstones are out doing some ska music or whatever the case might be. But I want to hammer some people up front. You know, I want to move some people off the ball, and I think with a little bit of size like that, you'd be able to. But look, I mean, we don't know when Nick's going to come back. That's I think is key to this. And you know, we talk about this all the time, you know, with the offensive line in particular. Hey, those five guys got to work together. I think it shortchanges every other unit on the field.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, the defensive line, those guys are just doing their own thing. No, they're not. They've got to work together with stunts and games and things that they're doing. So everybody has to work together. But
I think, you know what, where you see that with the younger players, and that's where I am right now with Titus Howard and Max Sharping. I was very encouraged by some of the stuff I saw in the game.
Yeah.
But I also saw some elements of younger players. And with Titus, it's working up. When you're working in conjunction with your tackle next to you, working up from a defensive tackle onto that linebacker, Titus still doesn't quite have the timing down. You know, he's still playing guard for the first time. Right.
I mean, 4 years ago, the guy was slinging it in high school playing quarterback.
Yeah, but that's where the timing coordination at offensive line compared to other positions comes in. And I, like I said, I'm not – I'm not down on his performance at all. I saw some good things. You just saw where, wow, he still is young. And the fun part about training camp for rookies is from game one to game two and from game two to game three, with a lot of guys, that's the most improvement they'll ever see in their careers. Because all of a sudden, the timing gets a little bit better. Yep. They anticipate better. And I'm looking for that out of Tytus Howard this week.
And the thing about it, too, is, you know, people watch the game, and it's like that's one snapshot. And how many plays did the offensive line play in that game against Green Bay? How many? Now, think about that, and then think about how many reps prior to have they had. With all the practices you guys have seen, the two practices against the Packers, it's like if you based solely what Tytus Howard was on 10 reps against the Packers in a preseason game, then you're discounting, in some sense, all the work that he's done up to this point. I know you're not doing that, and that's, but I know people have. People have looked at, oh, look at this. Look, he's going to get better as a guard in due time. He's going to, and I would think he's going to eventually get to left tackle. I just don't know if that's going to be sooner or later.
Yeah.
John Harris joining us here on Sports Radio 610, Texan sideline reporter on with Payne and Pendergast out here live at Texans practice. Johnny, about a minute, last one before we let you go. Let's pretend for a second that for whatever reason, Jadeveon Clowney is not with the Texans in week one of the regular season. Given the makeup of this roster, maybe even factoring in Whitney Mercilus and how he's looked at training camp, what is the one thing the Texans miss the most by not having Jadeveon Clowney on the field?
I think the biggest thing is an offensive line being able to set its blocking according to how they want it, as opposed to there's Clowney, we've got to account for him, we got to change what we're doing. There's a great mic'd up, like 5-second mic'd up during Clowney's NFL Top 100 players. And Clowney's on the sideline, and Reeder's sitting down, and Anthony Weaver, the defensive line coach, is there. And they're all talking, and Clowney is saying, when I'm standing up off the ball, they're pointing to me. And Reeder's like, yeah. He goes, they're saying something. I don't know what they're saying, but they're saying something, and they're all pointing at him. So when you have him in there, and he is standing up and moving around in particular, it changes what the offensive line wants to do and how they want or how they're going to block it. He then becomes the mic wherever. It's like they're setting their protection. Now, they may not make him the mic, but they're setting their protection and they're blocking to where he is. And that changes when he's not there, because all of a sudden you then say, okay, how do we want to handle this? We're going to set our blocking so that we double Watt, or that we're going to double Reader, or we're going to do this. But when you have, you know, Clowney shooting in an A gap, and you have Reader in the other A gap, like, okay, well, which one are you going to double? So to me, it changes, because now the offense, now instead of dictating the offense how they're going to protect, they dictate to you, we're going to do it this way. So I think from that perspective, that's the one biggest change. But look, Brendan Scarlett, I trust him. Whitney Mercilus has quietly had one of the best camps of any player here. So I'm looking for him to have a really big year, as long as he can stay healthy. So it's not the perfect situation, but I still think there's some dudes on the defensive side of the ball that are saying, look, we can play. We got some front seven dudes. We're going to get after it, and hopefully he'll get here and hopefully move on. I know it's a more nuanced conversation than do it in 30 seconds, but
yeah.
I look forward to seeing him. And if he's not here for whatever reason, I think the guys up front, they'll have a big test, but I think they'll be able to scheme some things up with one of the greatest defensive coordinators this game has ever seen.
Johnny, we look forward to your observations from these practices on HoustonTexans.com. Keep up the great work.
All right, boys. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.